Welcome to Pauly Malignaggi, from Brooklyn to the world.
Proudly representing his hometown of Brooklyn, New York.
Pauly Malignaggi takes you inside the ring and beyond.
I'm definitely far from shy. We're going to be ranting about a lot of stuff. Not just about boxing, I'm opinionated on life in general. Many sports topics and politics.
Pauly doesn't hold back.
The two-time world champion, Pauly the Magic Man.
Pauly Malignaggi, Peter Card, Brooklyn to the world, and are we still called Brooklyn to the world every week? I know I ask this question every week. What is technically our name right now, bro? Because we're like in a period of time where we're having identity issues, I feel.
Well, Pauly, here's how it breaks down. See, we are from Brooklyn to the world under the Showtime Sports banner.
So we're still Brooklyn to the world, Seth.
Always. Right? For life.
And is there any reason why you said it in that way?
I'm trying
to sound more intelligent?
No, I only want to sound like a dick. I don't know.
You did a good job.
I'm just fucking around.
So under the Showtime banner, all right. Yeah. And
that's always from Brooklyn to the world.
We're always from Brooklyn to the world.
But you find us at Showtime Sports on iTunes, etc.
All right. Good stuff. Yeah. We got Peter Cars in the house.
Word.
Are we recording today, or we're just audio today?
Just audio today.
What makes a difference? I want to know, because it kind of throws me off. What makes a difference between audio and video? Like, I mean, as far as what makes that decision? Not that makes a difference, obviously, but where does this decision come in? Okay, today we're going to do video and audio, and some days we're just going to do audio. Like, does that come from, like, higher-ups? Do we even have higher-ups? What is this?
It's Showtime Sports, so.
So Showtime decides they don't want to record some days, and sometimes we do? What do we do? Like, we have cameras? Why is that camera not on?
I know.
No, we have like a little GoPro. Yeah. You know, we don't have nothing on.
No, Peter. Not today.
I let it go, Peter.
Not all. Today.
That's all.
Not today.
No, but I wondered myself about...
Don't wonder.
About...
Let it go.
Hurt yourself.
We filmed...
Let it go.
We filmed, what, 2 episodes ago?
Let it go.
What did you film? Get to the point. What are you
the
saying?
Show!
We filmed the show.
Mental Midget?
We've been filming 100 episodes. What are we
filming?
Filming! Oh, okay.
You fucking genius! We've been filming 100 episodes. I know.
That's recording.
Try 3.
Right,
we recorded over 100 episodes.
Yes.
Right. We filmed
what
with Showtime.
Speaking of which,
197. Who gives a shit anymore?
What's the point?
What I'm saying is,
I think it's 102.
Yeah, it's like 103.
Don't make you lose your train of thought right now, Seth. Don't mess with him right now.
We filmed all this.
Deep process.
And recorded. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. As long as you're with me still.
Go ahead.
Where is it?
Where is it?
It's in the vault.
No, seriously. Where is it?
It's not posted.
Right. Like, you know, the audio, the recording for the late pun is available right away,
the
next day.
Correct.
Video.
I can't comment on this right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So that goes to the higher ups, like we were just referring to.
You know, it's a sensitive time, you know?
Oh.
Yeah.
Aha.
You know, there's a lot going on, you know.
All right.
Stirring the pot.
There's a lot going on everywhere, though.
Yeah.
What's been going on these days? No, where do we even start?
Where do you start? What do you want? What do you got? What's going on?
I don't even know where to start anymore.
Why don't we get our sponsors out of the way?
I don't even have time to jerk off anymore. You know what I mean?
Well, you don't have to.
Yeah. Literally.
You don't need to. You're all right.
If you're still tugging on your pecker all the time after being famous, we got a problem.
Hey, guys, we do have a sponsor this week, and it's a serious...
They're probably going to drop us after...
Yeah,
after you talking about tugging it.
Yeah, yeah, it's not really a good segue, but we're going to go for it anyway.
We're going to figure out a segue for it. We always do.
Labor Day's coming up. It's a big holiday party weekend, and it's important... It's important for people to be...
And everyone gets late on Labor Day. Nobody's tugging it. So,
right.
That's the only work you want to do on Labor Day.
You guys are not helping.
Okay, sorry.
Okay.
Go ahead.
It's important that, you know, people don't drink and drive. And I'm sure you guys have had stories about things happening. It's a bad thing. I've had personal issues.
I love to drink more than most people, but I don't drink and drive.
I've never seen Peter drink and drive in my life. And he drinks a lot. Doesn't add the drive to it.
And just think about this. You know, nobody gets in their car thinking, I'm drunk, I'm driving, and I'm going to kill someone tonight. You know, they might think, I've had a few drinks, but I'm okay to drive. I only live a few minutes from here, you know.
We're not used to that.
Yeah, I've gotten away with it before, you know, and they think, like, right up to the moment, they're fine. They're not going to kill somebody. But, you know, thousands of people are killed by drunk driving crashes every year, and it's better to be safe than sorry. Download the free Safer Ride app to help you call a taxi or to send a friend your location when you've been drinking. drive sober or get pulled over. I mean, it's a cool thing, right? We were talking about technology before we came on the air. Have an app or like, you know, help you just make that right decision. But isn't it crazy when athletes do
lives.
It? Rich multi-million dollar athletes are getting pulled over DUIs.
So what does this app do though? It's an app that gets you a car.
It'll help you call a taxi or help tell your friend your location. You could basically tell it what to do for you.
So is it like Uber?
Safer. It's kind of for drunk people.
Uber for drunk people.
Safer ride app.
So I hope it's but as long as it's easier to use than Uber, then you know, because if you're drunk, you probably can't use it as eloquently, no? I mean, because Uber is relatively easy to use as it is.
I mean, too drunk to drive means too drunk for complicated apps. But
here's my question. Yes. What I'm trying to get to is this.
I'm trying to tell you what it is.
Like, if this is easier to use than Uber, like, okay, if I want to get a ride somewhere and I'm sober, can I still use that?
No.
No?
Because you're being dishonest. That's not your game, dude. You're an honest guy.
No, but what I'm saying is, you know, you want to get the fastest car possible to get you to your destination, right?
Basically, they test you.
Is this better than Uber?
They're going to test
you. Even if you're sober. No?
Can you smack him in the face? No, listen. I'm going to tell you about the app a little bit. You know, too drunk to drive often means too drunk for complicated apps. Safer Ride is the simplest possible way to get home safe. It only has simplest way, right? It has three self-explanatory buttons.
I'm all about simplifying.
Three buttons on a home screen, right? You call a friend, locate a cab, or bring up a map of your current location. Help NHTSA end drunk driving by doing your part and use the NHTSA Safer Ride app to get home safely.
Now, is it BlackBerry compatible?
Dude, you're the only person who has a BlackBerry.
You don't drink, so don't worry.
If you could have apps on your phone, you could have
this
app.
Look at this shit. They're watching Little League World Series in Canada has took the lead again on Italy.
And they're not serving any alcohol at that game, so we're okay with that.
I would highly doubt they are, yeah.
Yeah, so come on. You got to be this day and age. There's no excuse for that, you know.
There should no excuse even in any day and age.
Because forget about if you kill somebody or crash, you get a DUI, that you lose your license. That screws up your life.
You're not gonna get a job ever again.
You know,
when it probably could have taken you $20 to jump in a cab and you home and. Exactly.
But now you have a safer. You have this app. I mean, it's so easy.
Oh, that's what it's all about is making, giving people less room for error.
Safer Ride app. Download Safer Ride app. It has three buttons on a home screen. You can call a cab, call a friend, or give your location.
No excuses.
Yes.
It's all about having options, especially when you're drunk and you don't
know. No excuses
drive.
To
you
be
the
a
more
loser.
The options you have to not drive, the better it is, you know?
Yeah, so be safe this Labor Day weekend from Brooklyn to the world. We tell you be safe.
You know what somebody needs to come up with?
Can you curse at them in Italian if they do something wrong? What are they?
You can curse at them in any language you want, no?
Yeah, you're pasta fazool, all right?
Yeah. Well, no, but seriously, here's another thing. Like, is anybody what you ever have the awkward situation to when like you're out and you intended to drive home, but then you wound up drunk? But then, because I think a lot of people wind up in getting DUIs because they didn't intend to be drunk and they wind up drunk.
The only
then their car is there; they don't want to leave their
car. That's the only time I ever drove drunk was driving your car because you got
drunk?
Fucked up.
Oh, nice, Pete. Great.
Nice. I don't remember. Oh.
Yeah. We had
fantastic.
His old Mercedes, the CLS.
Oh, the CLS.
Somebody got him to
God, I don't remember a lot of stuff. Huh?
Somebody got him to do shots at actually our friend Craig.
Thanks, Craig. Shout out to Craig.
Our boy Craig was like, "Nah, Paulie, you're drinking tonight," and he was like, "Nah, I don't drink." And he had a cast on. I'm like, "Have a couple. What's it gonna do?" The guy was drinking Jameson.
Nice. Ugh.
They took advantage.
So when he was passing out, we had to go back to the hotel to end off. Festivities.
Right. Wrap up the night.
Yeah. Exactly.
Great.
With some long haired friends.
And then we watched some TV and you went to sleep.
Exactly.
Okay,
good. We Netflixed and chilled.
Was Netflix around at that time?
No.
No.
Right. It was Pete's cock was around at that. Oh, sorry.
You're an asshole.
Are we allowed to say talk like this? This one time I'm going to get mad at us.
I don't know. This is our last show.
This is my horn. My horn and chill.
That's great. Great story, Pete. Thanks. Good thing Pete's here today.
Was Mike
now
there
you know
too?
Why I didn't call Mike, you. Now you know Mike, why.
You know,
now you know why I didn't have you on that show.
Mike was along for
Mike
the
body. Came, Mike was actually the designated driver.
Oh, Mr. Hunt?
No. Mike Hawk.
No, Hawk's bigger.
Hawk's bigger.
Hawk's bigger. You ruined the joke. You're such a jerk.
No, because Hawk's.
I said it all.
What is he, German? Hawk's bigger? Like,
yeah, Mike.
That's
Hawk's
a long
bigger.
Ass name.
Doesn't matter, bro. It makes more sense than Hawk's. Yeah, I know. Like, that makes a lot of sense.
Like, he said Hunt and I said Hawk.
Yeah, I know.
That's enough.
And Hunt, Mike Hunt.
Yeah.
All right.
Like Crazy Margaret from the neighborhood.
We're not getting any more sponsors, are we?
No, this is the last sponsor. That's all right.
All right. So what do we do? Speaking of
Future Legends going to sponsor us.
Yeah.
Hey, so you want to give us a quick update on all this BS you've been going through?
You know what? I feel like I'm talking about it 500 times a day.
That's what I said. Quick one. I said quick update.
I want to get a quick update. The update is, I don't know, it changes every day with these guys with how they want to portray it and the way they want to sell this fight, I guess. But the recent update, as everybody knows, was, you know, some footage came out. I still am, you know, skeptical of how they're going to release the full 12 rounds, if they're going to release it. You know, now that you know they have 3-4 cameras, I think, you know, you can change camera angles the way you want to. I mean, that quote-unquote knockdown sequence, I mean, it, in live, real time, when it happened, it was such a nothing moment. I mean, nobody in the gym reacted. I mean, watch everybody's face in the gym. Nobody reacts. Nobody does anything. I mean, it was such a nothing moment. The referee casually called it no knockdown. I mean, if you can make that look like something, I mean, I can't imagine the way you can edit, you know, even the 12 rounds, because you have so many different camera angles, you can keep switching. So that's why I tweeted this morning. I said, all right, you know what? When you have the footage that you're ready to release it, show one camera angle all 12 rounds, like a regular home video. Yeah, right? You have one camera angle all 12 rounds, untouched, 36 minutes. You know, don't start switching angles, making it into a TV show, like, you know, like they did the first time, you know?
Right, you know,
and again, as I keep saying, I mean, one thing I've come to realize, and I knew this in life already, but it just hits home for this particular situation, is people are going to believe what they want to believe.
Sure.
Like, even if you spit them in the face with facts, you know, with very obvious facts, they're going to believe what they want to believe. You know, like, I got people tweeting me that, you know, Joshua pushed down Klitschko's head, so a knockdown, all that stuff, if you hit in with a push down somebody's head, it still counts as a knockdown. You can get away with it. You can get away with it. I mean, but a punch still has to land, number one. I mean, this, in that particular situation, the punch didn't land. I think when I'm in Vegas, I'll probably talk to the media, because they're going to ask me, obviously. They're not going to stop leaving me alone. But I'll probably talk to the media more so in a video interview where people can actually see it, and I'll walk through the knockdown and make people explain why, number one, it, nothing landed in the sequence. And number two, even if it had landed, especially that last right hook, there's nothing on it anyway. You know what I'm saying? If you watch McGregor's left leg, which is the back leg in a southpaw stance, as he's throwing that little short right hook inside, I mean, some people think it's an uppercut. It's actually a hook. An uppercut goes up, down to up. It doesn't go side to side. But, you know, that's another. That's another. When you're explaining the difference with hooks and uppercuts to people, you know it's hopeless already. But, you know, yeah, you know you're already wasting your time trying to get the more complicated stuff out of the way. But you know, he throws that little short right hook as he's pushing down my head and he's letting me go. His left foot, which is out of a southpaw stance, is in the back, is traveling off the ground. You know what I mean? So he's only planted on one foot. So, I mean, I already said Conor's not a naturally good puncher, even with both feet planted. With one foot planted, nobody's a naturally good puncher. I'm sorry. Nobody is. Especially if you're pivoting your front foot and your back foot is off the ground. I mean, there's nothing on it. It's literally like a smack, even if it was to land. You know, then you add 16-ounce gloves, you add headgear. I know, guys, he doesn't hit that hard to begin with, so that would have nothing on it. But then again, you get to the bottom line where he didn't land at all, and that, even in that particular sequence. You know what it is? I'll tell you what it is. I think people just want this to be true so badly. They want this to happen so badly, like, and they want this to. I guess, I mean, it's almost like when you're watching the election and CNN kept telling you that Hillary was comfortably ahead, right, and everybody watched it because that's what they wanted to hear. But and then she lost by a mile. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, just because it's what you want to hear doesn't mean it's true. Just because it looks like something that you wish to be true doesn't mean that's how it happened. I mean,
just because you pour syrup on shit doesn't make him pancakes.
And you're not 7 years old. Like, you're an adult enough to understand this. So, like, when it's not true, even if you want it to be true, adults learn to understand, okay, this isn't the way it was. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, instead they try to spin around on you.
Well, they still want to believe that he has a chance to win the fight, too.
You can still believe he has. You can believe
anybody has a chance.
Right.
You can still believe he has a chance to win the fight without lying to yourself. You know what I'm saying? You can still believe he has a chance to win the fight. You know, I think the bottom line is if you're editing, just the fact that you're editing anything of a 12 round ass beating, according to Dana White, the fact that you have to edit anything of a 12 round ass beating. I mean, if it was a 12 round ass beating, just show something concurrent running for 30 seconds from one camera. You know, the fact that you have to edit anything out of that supposed 12 round ass whooping that both Dana and Conor said it was 12 rounds to zero, and I was stumbling out and all that stuff. The fact that you have to edit anything, again, I will say it, I'll keep saying it. Wouldn't that common sense tell you more so that, you know, there was probably a problem with this whole supposed ass whooping? I mean, you have to edit. You can't even give me 30 seconds running concurrently. That's kind of pitiful.
Yeah,
that actually shows you what you really stand for the whole sparring as a whole. That's pitiful.
But why do you have to call him a bald? Why do you have to make fun of his baldness, though? That was a little upsetting to me.
No, you know what it is?
You took offense?
Nah, you know what it is?
I tweeted it. I was like, you went too far.
He's cocky now because he has hair now.
You know what it is with the
I can't afford hair.
You know what it is, though? You know what it is with Dana? It's more like, it's not just baldness. He's so pasty. Like,
I'm just kidding, man.
He's so pasty. Like, the only guy in Vegas that doesn't catch any sun. You know what I mean? Like, you ever see him? He's like the Pillsbury Doughboy without the hat. Like, if you put the Pillsbury Doughboy hat on him and you dress him all in white, he's not going to be a spitting image. You know what I mean? Like, that guy is like the epitome of a guy who gets laid because of his money. There's no way anybody would touch him without the money he has. Like, anybody fucking Dana White, you know you're fucking him for the money. You know what I mean? Like, you're not doing anything. Nobody wants to go near that guy. You know what I mean? Nobody wants to touch. No chick wants to touch that guy. Are you kidding me? Man, if I look like him, I hang myself. You know what I mean?
Come or on. Become really rich.
You know? He didn't get rich off his looks, cuz. So it's not. That's
no,
not to do
I
with
said
his looks.
Hang yourself or become really rich.
Yeah. So.
So you don't think he's a handsome man? That's what you're trying to say.
No, I mean.
He's like a fucking cue ball.
Hey, will you stop with the cue ball?
He is.
You know what it is? He's not like neck fat, head fat. You know, it's like, you know,
he got a hot dog back there.
Yeah, he can't afford a trainer. I mean, he can afford a trainer, right?
It's more so that.
Game on! Don't miss a second of the NFL on CBS. With CBS All Access, subscribers can stream their local market games live and get full game day coverage on TV-connected devices and tablets. From Thursday Night Football to Sunday doubleheaders, we have all your NFL on CBS excitement covered. Start your free trial now at cbs.com/NFL. That's cbs.com/NFL.
Then I love how he, you know, another thing, I love how he's, how he comes up with, don't look at me. I mean, that doesn't make a difference to me. It actually does make a difference to you, because you need to promote Connor.
Right.
So it actually does make a difference to you. The fuck
it
are
makes
you even saying?
Like, he's not involved in the fight.
I'm not involved in the fight. It doesn't make a difference to me. All right. What do you think? Everybody's stupid? I mean, I know the people that listen to you are stupid. That much we figured it out already. But, like, you think everybody's stupid? Really? Like,
his little
I don't
cult.
Have anything. You know, like he's like, I don't need to say anything. Yeah, obviously you do, bro. You need to hype Connor as much as you can.
Why you put out the edited video.
Yeah.
Who told you to post it if you got nothing to do with anything?
Then Stephen Espinosa came out with a statement today that said, you know, Dana actually had nothing to do with any videos. He got them from because they sent, you know how everybody's been saying that supposedly Dana gave them all 36 minutes, no less. A lot of people on Twitter telling me they have all 36 minutes, and Showtime didn't want to show it. So that's what Dana was putting out. So Stephen came
out. Dana said that?
Stephen came on and cleared that up today. He said, no, it wasn't anything like that. It was actually about 45 seconds, and a lot of it was repetitive footage, and they wanted us to play it on All Access, and we wanted to chop it down a little bit. We wanted to play it, and it's funny because Steven actually mentioned this to me before any of the videos came out. Steven called me and said, we want to play it, but we need them to chop it down because it's just repetitive stuff. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, yeah, I mean, they don't have a lot of footage. In my mind, I was trying to revisualize the sparring. I'm like, they don't have a lot of footage. So, you know, he's going to probably try to play the knockdown as a knockdown as opposed to a slip. He's going to try to play certain shots from
the one shot he landed in.
In round 12. Round. No, literally, round 12 was a good shot that he landed. He landed a couple of shots here and there the rest of the sparring. One thing about me, though, is I don't get hit very clean. You know what I mean? Even when I get hit, I don't get hit very clean. And he's going to find that to be a problem with Floyd Mayweather as well. He's going to have an even bigger problem with Floyd Mayweather. So a lot of the shots that landed clean, you can probably, you know, you're not going to have very many of them. You know what I mean? And that's boxing in general, you know, because you can only use your hands. You're down to one art, you know, so you can only use your hands and fists to strike. And so to land cleanly, and the fighter has to defend just from the hands, to land cleanly against a very good professional becomes very difficult. So, you know, for Connor to have landed very cleanly, I think round 12 was more so from fatigue. He landed that shot, as you can see. I look how much I moved him that shot. For this puncher that he is. I'm exhausted in that. And look how much he moved me with that shot. I was exhausted. I'm not gonna lie to you, bro. 12 rounds.
How wouldn't you be?
But not only that, like, I'm not gonna lie to you. Like, I was the shape I was in, I had tried to get in better shape. Like I said, I had ran all the whole week before, but just running and doing one sparring session the week before, that's not training camp type of training. You know what I'm saying? That's just the bare minimum. I'll be honest with you, I probably wouldn't have went 12 rounds with like a Heather Hardy or like an Anna Houlton or like a Katie Taylor. You know what I mean? I don't think I would have been able to go 12 rounds with like even a girl that could box really well, you know? But like somehow I went 12 rounds with him, you know what I mean? And got the better of most of it, you know what I'm saying? So you know, they can edit it all they want. You know, that the cute and adorable, that's why I keep calling him cute and adorable, because you still got to fight then at 26. You got to stop trying to convince everybody that you did so good. Like, I give this example the other day to somebody. And Pete, remember this. My second world title fight, my second world title win, I fought Vyacheslav Sinchenko. And I fought him in Ukraine. I was a 3.5-to-1 underdog going into the fight. I had to go to Ukraine. And I remember when I got the fight and I started training for it, nobody thought I was going to win the fight. You know, looking back, everybody makes like, you know, it was a nothing moment, because that's how everybody's always a Monday morning quarterback. But going into the fight, nobody thought I was going to win the fight. There was absolutely, you couldn't find somebody that thought I was going to win that fight, you know, and the odds makers made me 3.5-to-1 underdog. And Pete remembers it. Pete was in camp with me and whatnot.
Fact.
And I didn't spend the whole training camp trying to convince anybody. Like, right. I didn't social media it up. I didn't give a bunch of interviews talking about like that I'm going to dismantle this guy. I'm going to beat him. I just quiet, because I knew nobody would believe in me anyway. You know what I'm saying? So, like, you know, Conor's like so scared to be laughed at. Like, boxing, right. If Conor was so scared to be laughed at, he should have probably not had the media workout the other day. You know what I mean? Because they saw him shadow box, and now boxing is laughing at him. You know what I mean? Like, don't hit the bag or do anything, or even hitting the bag or whatnot. I mean, just don't work out in front of anybody if you don't want to be laughed at, because boxing laughs at you. You know what I mean? So what I remember was for the Sinchenko fight, I didn't try to convince everybody through videos and all this other stuff that, you know, I'm going to beat this guy. When I just went to camp, I trained hard, I believed in myself. And going into the fight, I remember thinking, I don't know if I'm going to win this fight, but I'm definitely going to be able to be honest with myself and say I gave it my best effort and prepared in the best possible way, and I showed up as the best possible Paulie Malignaggi on fight night. You know, I didn't want to do myself a disservice, you know? And obviously on fight night, we know the whole story. You know, I ended up with a 9th round stoppage in the Ukraine, and I won my second world title. But I look at it like, I look at the parallels here with Conor. He's in a fight where, no, you know, really anybody with a logical, any kind of logical brain doesn't really give him a chance, you know? And he's in this situation. He's in this situation now where, you know, he's training hard. He's in camp. He's bike riding. He's Lance Armstrong. He's, you know, he's working out and doing whatever he's doing. I mean, a lot of it, I don't know what he's doing, but, you know, he's working hard. I mean, you can tell. You can clearly see he's in shape. Just the fact that he can even spar 12 rounds. But why are you trying so hard to convince everybody? You know what I mean? Like, one thing about the boxing ring that everybody always told me since I started boxing, the truth always comes out inside the ring.
Yep.
So if you're so prepared or whatnot, we'll find out on the 26th. You know what I'm saying? The truth always comes out in the ring. That's the truth speaker. You can't play yourself in the ring.
There's no lying and tricking.
Yeah, there's no editing. There's no kind of camera tricks. There's no illusions. On fight night, it's you and the other guy, and you have a job to do, you know? And so if you've prepared badly, or if you're underprepared, or if you're even not good enough on fight night, it shows up, you know? Now, based on all these pictures he's put up, granted, we know he's preparing very good. You know what I mean? He's preparing very hard. I mean, he's putting up, he's Instagram modeling the shit out of this camp. You know, he's he's bike riding, he's all over the place.
Got rompers.
So you've now eliminated the excuse that you didn't train hard enough. So now, if you show up and you get embarrassed on the 26th, everybody's going to know you weren't good enough. You know what I mean? And now you're going to get laughed at because you trained so hard and then you got run out of the ring. So now you need to perform because you put this whole thing out where you're beating up sparring partners, you're concussing people.
That's right.
That's cute.
Are you feeling better from that?
Listen,
are you okay?
That was cute.
How many fingers, Paulie?
Because here's the problem. You can never believe your own hype. You know, one thing about boxing, and one thing I learned also very early in boxing, you have to know who you are. You have to know your identity inside the ring. But more importantly than knowing who you are, you have to know who you are not. Mm-hmm. So if you think you're a puncher, and let's face it, every single man in this world that's never gotten to a fight in their life or maybe got into a couple of street fights thinks they hit hard. And every single one of those men also thinks that nobody can take their shot and nobody can knock them out. The guys in the corner on the bar or whatever, you talk to them about, like, oh, they hit the hardest, they hit this, and everybody thinks that because it's a man's ego. Everybody thinks that. But when you start boxing, you start to realize very early in it that the percentage of men that actually hit like that probably very, very small. You know, very, very small. And then you also find out that you know, your chin is probably not as good as you thought. You know what I mean?
You got to understand that. You got to put it into perspective as a sport. Now you're in there with people that do it every day for a job. It's like a woman telling you, you know, you got a little pecker. It's not working. You know, you're not satisfying me. You know, if
did you ever think maybe she had a big vagina?
Right. Well, how would you feel as a man? You wouldn't feel too great.
You're saying it to me because I'm Jewish.
But here's the thing.
You know, when you punch somebody, you expect, I mean, especially this guy, he walks around like he's Anthony Joshua. I mean, this guy thinks he's the hardest puncher ever to walk this God's green earth.
Mike Tyson.
Right. But, you know, you get a reality check. And he knows it, you know, but what's being perceived on social media is not reality. And unfortunately,
well, like you said, we're going to find out.
He's going to find out. Yeah. And his whole fan base is going to find out. And, you know, it's a lonely corner when, you know what I'm saying, when you get embarrassed.
Humbled.
Well, that's the thing.
Especially now that they chose to give them 8-ounce gloves.
Yeah, I know.
I want to comment on that, guys.
Here's the thing. Yeah. Going back to what I was saying, though. When you're boxing and then you find out in the ring. You know, you find out once you start boxing whether how good of a puncher you are, how good of a puncher you're not, and all this other stuff. Before you know it, your punches are landing. And guys aren't going anywhere, you realize, okay, I don't hit as hard as I do. Now, a lot of guys right there are done, you know, because they don't know they don't back themselves up with any kind of boxing skills or whatnot, you know.
Plan B.
I had 4 hand surgeries early in my career, so I knew very early in my career that I was not going to have to be able to fancy myself as a puncher. So I started, you know, revolving my style around other things that I knew I had the advantage of: speed, you know, agility, reflexes, all this other stuff, you know, angles, things that would make me successful despite being a non-puncher. You know what I mean? Because I knew I was and I knew I wasn't. You show up on fight night thinking you're this monster puncher and then you're not, you know, you're probably not gonna have another idea of what to do, you know. And that's the thing about,
but he said 8-ounce gloves, he's gonna be 2 rounds, he said.
Yeah, that's the thing about all this. That's the thing about all this. Because Floyd is a prick in there. Floyd is a prick. I've worked Floyd's last 6 fights. I've seen him his whole career. People think he's this cutesy dancing guy in the ring. He's a prick in there. He will beat the shit out of you if you are not good enough to hang.
And something,
you
know, I remember.
The thing about him is he's been fighting guys, you know, very good enough to hang, you know, Canelo, Pacquiao, guys like that.
And
he
made Canelo trigger shy, you know, because, you know, Canelo didn't want to get hit with those counters anymore.
That's right.
Canelo's a big dude.
The thing about it is this, though. You have to understand one thing. Guys can become gun shy, but they know how to be in there.
Right.
Does Connor know how to be in there when he becomes gun shy, if he becomes gun shy? You know what I'm saying? Or does he now not know what to do and just get the shit beat out of him? Because knowing how to be in there allows you to maybe not get knocked out, but be in the fight. You know what I'm saying? Not knowing how to be in there because you don't have experience, now you realize what you prepared for. I mean, I don't know what kind of preparation he's doing. I mean, honestly, this guy's got this Russian guy who's in his corner all the time. This guy Artem or whatever his name. I mean, listen, if you put Everlast on his head, it'd be an insult to the heavy bags, bro. I mean, I saw him spar this guy Artem, and I literally was telling myself, why does he just not hit the bag? Like, at least the bag gives you more resistance when you hit it. You know what I'm saying? Like, this guy was so useless boxing-wise. I guess he's an MMA guy. Maybe he's a decent MMA fighter. I don't know. This guy was so useless boxing-wise that I said, maybe he's just trying to do it so he can add up rounds sparring, where he can, you know, sometimes on the end of sparring or something, you know, you'll get some softies in there. But, you know, meantime, you're adding up the rounds. You're sparring so that you can log them, you know? But, I mean, this guy was so useless. You don't even do that. You hit the bag, you're going to get better work out of it. You know what I mean? Because the bag is heavier. It's bigger. It gives more resistance when you hit it. Like, this guy was so useless. And I'm thinking to myself, this guy, I was going to fight Floyd Mayweather, and you're sparring this guy? What is that going to do for you? Was that going to give you like a pick-me-up? The guy, that's my problem with Conor. He needs a lot of pick-me-ups. He needs, like, people to tell him how great he is. And he's probably going to tell him he's doing great.
He's got the 8-ounce gloves. He's good.
Yeah, so, I mean, listen. You got your 8-ounce gloves, right? You got your 8-ounce gloves now. You know, the problem is Floyd's been fighting his whole career 8-ounce gloves. You know, so the 8-ounce gloves is really an overrated thing. You know, 8-ounce gloves definitely hurt. I mean, guys get knocked out on 8-ounce gloves. They do not tickle at all. We saw some scientific evidence. If you look it up online, the difference in impact from 4 ounces to 8 ounces with the hand wrappers and everything is literally just 2%. 2%
wow.
Difference. So there is no impact. So if you are the puncher you are, that you're claiming to be, you know, you think you punch like Anthony Joshua, you probably punch more like Anthony Bourdain. But, you know, now on fight night, we're going to find out.
Well, let me ask you a question. Can I ask you a question about Connor?
Because here's where Connor, and that's the thing, before you get going, people think, oh, so you're giving him no shot. It's not that I'm giving him no shot, because Connor, tactically, you can't give him a shot tactically. You got to give him a shot intensity-wise. Connor's intensity is elevated. You know what I mean? He's a young guy. He has his intensity. My problem with him is he has to keep this intensity going throughout the rounds, because he's going to catch a beating at a certain point. And if he can keep his intensity riding, then maybe he'll put Floyd back into a situation where he's, you know, on his back foot, or he's got to watch for himself. You know what I'm saying? He's got to keep it intense, though, without being so dirty. I mean, one thing that they did, and Dana White, not the biggest moron, you hear what he said? He actually gave up Connor's cards in that interview. He said Connor won every round, but he lost 2 points for fouling from Joe Cortez. I mean, granted, they're virtual points. There's no real judges. But between now, you know, Connor lost 2 points for fouling in the sparring with me. And now you know that in this highlight that he gave, I mean, he's throwing rabbit punches. He's pushing down behind the head. Now the cat's out of the bag, you moron. You moron. The cat's out of the bag. Because if on fight night, you give this referee this position where, wow, like, these are a bunch of fouls. He's shocked. He doesn't expect it. Now he's kind of having trouble refereeing it because it's such a big fight. He doesn't want to get too involved. But now the referee knows, you moron. Now the referee's going to go into the fight knowing this guy, all he does is push your head down. All he does is throw rabbit punches. I'm going to be on him from round one about this. Because let's face it, guys. In mixed martial arts, you can push the head down. You can't do it in boxing. You can not rabbit punch in mixed martial arts or boxing, though. So rabbit punches are going to be illegal regardless, you know? So that's kind of one of the obstacles now he's got to face, you know? On the inside, boxing on the inside is the most difficult thing to learn. It's the most difficult thing to learn.
Only comes with experience.
It comes with experience. It takes years to learn. And you ask me, why does boxing on the inside be so difficult to learn? Because the inside range is the only place where you can literally be hit with every single punch. If I'm on the outside at a certain angle, I'll know, okay, from here I can get hit with a right hand, or from here I can get with a hook, or here, okay. If I start getting close, I can get hit with uppercuts, I can get with hands, hooks, I can get hit with body shots, I can get hit with everything. You know what I'm saying? So now I got to be so alert, much more alert, and it drives you crazy if you're not calm in there. You know what I'm saying? Because every single shot can hit you. There's no room for error inside. So what does a person who doesn't know what to do inside start doing? A lot of times they start holding, you know? And that's kind of where Connor has the problem there, because he doesn't have the experience as a boxer to have learned how to fight inside. So his instinct automatically to protect himself is to push the head down or hold. I was actually calling him a pussy throughout that second sparring, because I realized what he's doing. Every time he gets close and he pushes your head down, I said, you're a pussy, bro. You're trying not to fight inside. I see what you're doing. You pussy, I see what you're doing. You know what I mean? You don't want to fight. You don't want to fight. You're not going to get the way with that in a fight. You don't want to do it. You know?
There's a certain level when you get to a certain experience level that you're actually so calm in that exchange, or you're looking and you see openings. And if a guy is just trying to hold your head down, you're going to set him up with some good body shots. And body shots are important, you know. Just the inside game is
so
important.
Going back to what I was saying about shots, you know, you can get hit with and you cannot be hit with. Like, for example, I'll give you this, and it's for lack of a better example, it's the moment when I go down. He's holding my head down with his left hand, right? So I'm moving, trying to move away while also trying to pick my head up. And I'm also trying to move my feet, trying to move away. I know from that position he's holding me with his left hand. I know the right hand is free. So I am trying to push away, but also push away in a direction where if a shot comes with the right hand only, it can only come with the right hand, I am riding away from the right hand. So I'm trying to push away this way. You know what I mean? For sure, you guys at home can't see. So just in case a right hook does come, which it did, I can ride away with it. I can kind of ride with it as I'm picking my head up. I'm only doing that because I know from that moment he can't hit me with anything from the other side. His hand is holding me down. So I know I have to just watch for anything coming from his right, from my left.
And by that point, you're half smothering it anyway.
Yeah, well, what I end up doing was when he lets me go, it reacts like a... That's the reason I go down. When he lets me go, it reacts like when you're playing tug of war and you let go of the rope.
Go.
Because I'm pushing away with my feet, but I'm also pushing up with my lower back to try to push my head up. So when he throws that right hook, I'm kind of riding a little bit to my left to try to rock with it. When he throws that right hook, trying to rock with it a little bit. But I don't, because he throws a hook, then he lets me go. It already goes by me. So he misses it. But I was in the process of trying to go that way. You know what I mean? So trying to roll that way. So when he lets me go, I was in the process of moving this in this direction and rolling. And I go, and I go down, you know? So literally, nothing caused me to go down except me trying to get away from his left hand pushing me down. And the reason you're trying to get away from the left hand pushing you down is because, you know, you can be hit with other punches. Because, let's face it, in boxing, guys do get away with it. It's illegal, but guys do get away with it. You know, sometimes, but you got to do it in a subtle way. You can't do it, you know, Connor's reaching out. As you can see in the video, he's reaching out, holding your hand down, holding your head down. Like, so that's not even in a subtle way. Like, a lot of boxers do it. They do it in little subtle ways on the inside. You get dull, they push you down. Don't get me wrong, everybody does it, but you got to know how to do it,
how
bro.
To do it. He's an experience to do that.
Like, it's so not subtle. It's
and
like, all right, bro.
Floyd will be looking for that, too, I'm sure.
Yeah, and of course, now the referee's going to be looking for it, because now the cat's totally out of the bag. Even Dana White said it, the moron. What a moron.
He should be quiet.
He put his own guy.
He should be just happy he's collecting a big check and be happy. Yeah. Two things. One, I hope that they, when they do play this, you're sparring, that the audio's on so we can hear you calling them names. And two,
they're not going to play my sparring, and I'll tell you why.
Yeah, I'm
because
sure
the
not.
One thing that looks so stupid, the only way they do it, like I said, is the different
chop
camera
it
angles.
Up.
They
yeah.
keep chopping up different camera angles. You know what I'm saying? Because here's my thing. If you have 36 minutes, if you're changing angles, how do I know that I'm giving you the same look here and you change the angle? How do you know it's the same round? You know what I mean? There's nobody commentating. There's nobody doing anything. You know what I'm saying? Like, how do I know you're not chopping up? That's why I said, I want the same camera angle all 36 minutes. I want one camera all 36 minutes, one view.
That's
just
always
like a
the
home
way
video.
Sparring was. It was a home video.
Yeah, now these guys are doing like Hollywood edits. You know what I mean? Like they have a TV crew there.
They have
a
TV crew.
Like, you know,
for
when
sparring.
You watch a fight on TV, the angles change because, you know, you get the best angle possible. But suddenly, all of a sudden, this guy's got a TV crew for sparring. You know what I'm saying? Just use one camera. Recorded 36 minutes straight through, so you can't fuck with it. And honestly, why would you want to fuck with it? You did so good. Why'd you want to fuck with it?
Right.
You know what I mean? It's less work for you. Just put out one camera view. You know what I mean? Don't even do any work. Why would you want to do any work? Show the people what happened.
And I got a question for you guys. You guys are big MMA fans. What impressed you about Conor as an MMA fighter? Like, why is he so successful on his feet?
He's very good in MMA. He's like Floyd said, he's undefeated with his hands. You know, he's been submitted. But he's never been knocked out, or you know what I mean?
I think he's a skillful guy. I don't think he has a lot of character, but I think he's a skillful guy.
Right.
I think his stand-up in MMA, karate-based and whatnot.
Lefty.
I think he's a skillful guy. My problem is his character, and it starts to diminish even in a boxing ring. You know what I'm saying? And you know, if Floyd takes him to that place, we'll find out if he can dig down or not. You know, I think he's a little bit of a bully / front runner, where when things are going his way, and he's so good in MMA that most of the time they are going his way, he's okay, he's fine. You know, he's cool. But as soon as things start getting a little bit difficult for him, he looks for a way out, or he's trying to figure out a way out. And then Nate Diaz shooting in on the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt, when you're not the ground fighter and he'll choke you out, you know, means that you were no longer trying to find a way to win the fight. You were trying to get your way
I
out of
I would
it.
Much you're, rather sit on the cage.
No. I'll
and
tell
just
you,
have my
I'll
hands
you,
like this before what, shooting on a black
I'll tell
belt.
You what the problem is. I'll tell you what the problem is. He got tired in round one. Now in round two, he started catching shots.
Load.
He started catching a lot of shots in round two. So you have to make a decision right there. I'm getting my ass kicked. It's a 5-rounder. I'm in round two. If I keep trying to win this fight, I have to keep standing up. I can't go to the ground because this guy's a black belt in jiu-jitsu. If I keep standing up this way, I'm too tired. I'm going to get the shit beat out of me. But if I keep standing up this way, despite getting the shit beat out of me, I may be able to win the fight by catching him with something because I'm quote-unquote a big puncher. So you have to make that decision, and the choice you make shows how much you believe in yourself and how much balls you have. Because you make that decision, and not you don't necessarily still win the fight. But if you lose making that decision, you get that living shit beat out of you because now you can't hang standing up with Nate Diaz. You're tired. He's not. He's going to beat the shit out of you. He's gonna totally demolish you. So you're going to risk a real bad ass whipping. But you also, there's a chance you might win the fight. You might catch him with something. The other no character decision is end up on the ground and this fight ends quickly and it puts me out of my misery. What does he do? He shoots in. He shoots in on the Brazilian black belt, Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt. Don't tell me I don't know anything about mixed martial arts, you fucking dorks, mixed martial arts fan dorks, because I talk to mixed martial artists, okay? My brother's a brown belt in jiu-jitsu with Marcelo Garcia. I know mixed martial artists, so don't tell me what I know or don't know about mixed martial arts. I know balls, okay? And this guy had no balls in that particular fight, okay?
He did come back and fight him again.
Yeah, how do you fight him?
Huh?
How do you fight him?
Stand up.
Yeah, he sort of stand up. He won by the skin of his teeth. He ran away the last two rounds.
He ran.
Smart. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Smart.
He
smart.
Literally
he
ran.
He ran. The fight was in the air. Close fight. You know, you can give it to him. You can give it to Nate. Connor gets it. I don't even have a problem with it. It's a close fight. And he showed character in coming back and winning the fight. He didn't do it in an exciting fashion, but sometimes it's getting the result and looking good next time. So I don't have a problem with that. Why doesn't Nate get a third fight, but but Conor had an immediate rematch. Why doesn't Jose Aldo get a second fight, but Conor gets a rematch in Nate Diaz? Okay, that's the politics. All right, that's the politics. And he fought. Who was the kid that he stopped in the second round when the Madison Square Garden fight? That guy fought on like a week's notice. Who was that kid? Eddie Alvarez?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Eddie Alvarez. Oh, he took it on a week's notice. Nate Diaz was drinking shots. There's actually a YouTube video. Nate Diaz doing shots in Cancun 10 days before he takes the 10 days before he fights McGregor because he was a last minute opponent. So how good is this guy looking against guys who are training for him? How good is this guy looking against? No, I'm serious. How good is he looking against guys who get a full camp? Because people make like, yeah, he fought Diaz on 10 days notice. Yeah, but he was in camp. Nate was not. What are you guys kidding me? Like, what the kind of bullshit is that? He was
Nate
in camp.
Nate said he was lucky he happened to be training for a triathlon at the time.
But he was in fucking Mexico doing shots.
Yeah, he was.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, come on, bro. You know what I mean? So, again, skillful, yes. Character remains to be seen. I need his intensity for this fight to be good. I need his intensity to remain at a high level without ending up disqualified. He's walking a fine line here because one way us boxers know you quit is getting yourself disqualified. You foul out of a fight. Now, if he kicks her knees, obviously he's going to get fined, so he's not going to get himself disqualified.
And he's going to forfeit his money.
Yeah. But you pushing the head down is a regular boxing foul.
Right.
So if he fouls out pushing the head down or rabbit punching, it's also a way he's quitting, okay?
I'm curious to see
if he does this because there's going to come a point in the fight where he's going to be very uncomfortable, and that's where I question Conor. When he's uncomfortable, I don't think he has the biggest balls. Some fighters, that's where the real fighters come out. Guys like Nate Diaz, guys like a Tim Bradley, a Shane Mosley, a Evander Holyfield. The shit gets tough. They put their balls on the line, and they keep fighting, even if they're going to suffer. You know what I'm saying? So Nick Diaz, too, Nate's brother. So and I'm sure there's others, but my thing is, what's gonna happen when or if Conor gets to that point? You know what I'm saying? That's my curiosity. What's gonna happen when or if Conor gets to that point? Is he gonna show some character? Because we're all fighters in round one. The real fighters are exposed as real fighters or fake fighters when shit hits the fan and their decisions during those moments, you know? Let's face it, bro. Even Floyd has shown character. Shane Mosley rocked his world with that right hand. What did Floyd do? Instantly started walking him down. He got held on until he
recovered. Right to the fire.
Instantly, he held on until he got better, and then he started walking his man down. You know how hard of a decision that is to make when this guy you just showed you the power to rock your world, and then instead of, and your instinct is telling you, get away from this guy, and instead he starts walking him down. Walk towards the fire that just burned you. And start what? You know how hard of a decision that is to make as a human being? Like,
and when
I don't
Shane's
think people
looking
understand.
For excuses.
And he did it the rest of the fight. He walked his ass down
Shane,
the rest of the fight.
And he's telling Shane, shut up and fight.
Yeah.
Shut up and fight. And Shane's looking at the ref.
That's
shut
character.
Up and fight.
That's character.
What about
that's,
when he fought Miguel Cotto?
Yeah, that's character. Yeah, just hanging in the fight, man. As Cotto keeps walking him down and it's bleeding.
In the locker room, he said, that motherfucker would make me want to retire.
You know, like,
well, he said it to you when you guys talked a couple weeks ago.
Yeah,
he said Cotto hits hard.
And those were 10 ounces,
and Cotto,
just so you know.
And Cotto will be in your face the whole fight, cut the ring off, and he's a puncher, and he's also putting that mental pressure. Watch the Mayweather versus Cotto fight. Watch how Cotto presents himself in front of Mayweather every second of every round. Literally, they are separated by like a foot, maybe the max, maybe 8 inches, or 6 inches. Every second of every round, Cotto is in his face, even if he's not punching. So when somebody's that close to you, you know the risk of being hit is every second, all 3 minutes. Even
with,
if you're not fighting all 3 minutes, you know the risk of being hit is all 3 minutes.
You said it with Broner versus Garcia, where it's like, putting pressure and cutting off the ring doesn't necessarily always mean throwing punches and hitting the guy.
And it makes
make
it,
him
it,
in
it
distress.
Means, yes, it means giving the guy the thought process that you might be throwing because you're in range to throw and you are positioned to throw.
You're physically
fact,
there.
I did this a lot to Conor McGregor in the first sparring, and I felt like this was the reason he didn't box me 2 days later when he was supposed to. He got the better of the first sparring because was able to throw more punches and I couldn't really match his conditioning. My conditioning was really bad in that first sparring, but I did 8 rounds. Now, he didn't kick my ass, but I'd say he was busier, he got his work in, but I was happy that I made him work, more so from that perspective that I just explained to you. Presenting a target in front of him would make him think he's more in danger than he actually is. Nobody can fight 3 minutes of every round, but a smart fighter will make you give the illusion that he can fight you with 3 minutes of every round. And by presenting himself in front of you, balanced out in a proper stance and an attack molded stance. Now, if he fights 3 minutes of every round, he's going to be gassed in 2 minutes. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So he's not going to be able to do that. But giving you the illusion that danger can creep up on you every second of the round puts the fighter under pressure, under duress, because he knows at any given moment a dangerous shot can come. And to have that duress on you for 3 minutes of every single round is hard to deal with. This is how Golovkin destroys you mentally and physically, right. And Cotto does this very well too. Watch the Mayweather-Cotto fight. Cotto is putting this kind of pressure on Mayweather every second of every round. Watch it, especially as the fight starts to go on. Cotto is doing this to Mayweather. And Mayweather, to hang calmly, to relax under that fire, is not easy to do. That takes balls, it takes character, because a lot of times that mental pressure causes mistakes because you panic. Mm-hmm. You
pressure
know
bust pipes.
So to create that calmness, you know, off of that illusion, you know, you're fighting 6 to 8 inches away from each other all every round, and this guy's a puncher, and you're staying calm. I mean, he's calm too, but damn, that's skills on top of skills on top of skills from both guys. You know what I'm saying?
So that part is too in depth.
So
for
having
a lot of people
yes, very in depth. I don't even know if a lot of people are getting what I'm even saying. But having said that, now.
Position. You're talking about boxing.
Positioning is one of the elements involved with what I'm saying.
It's all
yes.
mental.
Now, having said all this, now bring Conor McGregor to the table. He doesn't even know what the fuck that is, bro. You know what I mean? I know he doesn't know what that is because the first sparring, when I was presenting that illusion to him, he just kept throwing. He was working too much. You know what I'm saying? Which is good for him. He gets him in shape. But I knew he's totally a rookie to this kind of illusion. You know what I'm saying? So.
It's a different
game. And for me, that was the reason he didn't box me the 2 days later. For me, that was my personal reason why he didn't box me 2 days later. He was made to work harder than he thought, even though he wasn't in great shape yet. I was definitely not in any kind of shape at all. And for me, he didn't want to be uncomfortable two back-to-back sparring sessions. He let me go home back to New York to work with Bruno Garcia, and he's probably figured to himself, I'll see this guy in 10 days. So they flew me cross-country for no reason because I could have went to Weidman versus who did Weidman fight that night? The Weidman fight in Nassau Coliseum. I had tickets to the fight, and I didn't get to go because I had to go to camp with this mutt, and then all for one sparring session. I got to fly cross-country for one sparring session, go back, and then obviously I came back a week later when I left.
One day you could tell your grandkids you sparred with Conor McGregor.
I'll tell my grandkids I fought Miguel Cotto. I'll tell my grandkids I fought Amir Khan. I told my grandkids I was in the ring with Ricky Hatton. I got
man.
A lot of stories. You know, I've told my grandkids I got to win two world titles and there's some crazy circumstances and stadiums and arenas I got to fight in. I've had a fun career, you know.
Let's talk boxing, guys. Got a big fight coming up Saturday night. Big fight. Yeah, two undefeated, 140.
Unification.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think this is the first time since Jermaine Taylor and Hopkins that a unification for all four world title belts is there. So this is a big deal. Hopkins and Jermaine Taylor had this type of thing in 2006. When they both they fought twice.
You're the expert, dude. People are not giving Ndongo a chance.
Well, Ndongo's an unknown. That's why he's kind of an unknown entity.
But you know him.
I know him a little bit, and he's definitely better than people think. But it's hard to pick against Crawford. Damn it, Crawford's good.
Crawford is a pound for pound. You're talking about pound for pound fighter.
I mean, and Crawford is.
But Ndongo does have a herky-jerky,
yeah,
wiry frame, man. It's not, you know, it's going to be awkward, but I just always, you can't go against
but
Crawford.
But the thing about Crawford is Ndongo's got the kind of style with that herky-jerkiness that if you're just a timing kind of fighter, he's going to throw you off because he's hard to time with that herky-jerky style. But Crawford has such a developed style through his amateur career and whatnot, you know what I'm saying, that his base is pure boxing, but he's an athlete as well. So He doesn't have to just try to time Ndongo. He can actually beat him on fundamentals. You know, because Ndongo's the kind of guy you're going to beat on fundamentals. He's not the kind of guy who's going to be easy to time because he's awkward. He's got a herky-jerky style, weird rubbery kind of a frame, you know. But Crawford is the kind of guy who doesn't just time you. Obviously, he's a great guy. He's great at timing you, but Crawford doesn't have to just time you to beat you. Crawford can beat you with proper fundamentals as well. Out of both stances, no less.
Many peels to that onion.
So it's hard to pick against Crawford this weekend. And, you know.
And he adjusts. He adjusts to what's in front of him.
But Ndongo can punch a little bit. You know, he beat Ricky Burns pretty easily. He knocked out Troyanovsky. I mean, he knocked Troyanovsky senseless with that shot, man. So he's gone. If Ndongo pulls this off, it's going to be quite a story because he went to Russia to win the IBF title against Troyanovsky. Then he went to Scotland, first of all, Troyanovsky was from Russia. Then he went to Scotland, where Ricky Burns is from, and unified his IBF title with Burns' WBA title by beating Burns in Scotland. In his country. And now he's going to come to the U.S. to fight the American Ndongo and try to get the rest of the world title belts in that weight class and unify them. So if Ndongo actually pulls this off, I mean, he's going to have one. I don't know if he was the underdog against Burns. I don't want to put words in my mouth. I know he was the underdog against Troyanovsky. Against Burns, I don't know if he was the underdog. But if he's able to beat Crawford and and beat him in the U.S.
Flip the A-side three times.
Flip the B-side all three times. As an opponent, as a no-hoper, and become the unified super lightweight champion of the world. I mean, that's kind of crazy. It's gonna be. I mean, it's gonna be hard. I think this is gonna. This is harder than Troyanovsky and Burns combined.
Yeah,
you know, this is Crawford is more difficult.
And when you look at him, he looks like a guy that just wants to run a marathon. You know what I mean?
Oh, Burns was favored.
Burns was favored
-180
because it was in Scotland.
Sure. Yeah. So let's look ahead. Just saying.
So if he wins this fight, he will have unified the super lightweight division.
All on the road,
all in fights where he was the underdog.
That was like, what was that?
Quite a story.
The Giants or Steelers, they won all on the road, right?
Giants.
Yeah.
Every game in the world.
Two times. So let's say, hypothetically, Crawford wins. How do you see him performing at 147? You feel like he can compete with those guys?
It starts to get dangerous for him at 147. He's tremendously skilled, but this is a guy that was a lightweight. So now you're at welterweight. It starts to get a little risky for you. You got to start to try to pick your spots. You know,
Do you think he can be successful at welterweight?
Yeah, he can, but he's got to take calculated risks. You know, you take calculated risks.
Someone asked me that on Twitter. It was like, well, what do you want to see? And I'm like, of course you want to see him fight at welterweight eventually, but you know when.
Don't jump right to Thurman.
Right, exactly. You don't just go up to a world champion.
I don't think he can beat a big welterweight who's really good. I don't think he can beat a Spence. I don't think he can beat a Thurman. I think he might be even more skilled than all of them. You know what I mean?
I'd like to see him with Danny Garcia.
Danny Garcia is the next super lightweight. That would be a good fight. You know, you got.
Is Danny still fighting?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
You got. I mean, he just fought in March. You know, but
he fought Thurman.
No, I know, but I said because they were talking afterwards.
Oh no,
like,
they would. No, he's fighting.
He looks like he's trying to steal your job, dude.
I love Danny, but that's I don't know about that one.
he takes time to get to be an expert this guy is.
Yeah, I know. You don't learn some of them. Yeah, he did. No, he's great, Danny. I love him.
Yeah, so we also have Cotto's fighting the same night as Floyd's fight.
Yeah, Cotto's fighting Yoshihiro Kama guy. You know, funny thing about Yoshihiro
Before we get to that, about Crawford versus Amir at 147?
Yeah, Crawford against any former 140 or 147 is fine with me. You know what I mean? I think that's where you angle it.
Just work his way up.
Alexander, Amir Khan, Danny Garcia. You know, I think those guys are probably a bit more realistic than a full fledged welterweight guys that turn pro welterweight, like a Keith Thurman, like a Sean Porter, like a
Sean Porter would be too big.
Yeah, too big. Yeah, who was the other one? Earl Spence, you know. Even like a Kell Brook, I don't think you go in with. I don't think you put him in with natural welters like that. But not because he's not good enough. I think Crawford is one of the most talented guys in boxing. It's a matter of, you know, size starts to matter at a certain point once you move up the weight classes too many times, you know. So we'll see how it plays out. But yeah, talking about Cotto and Kama guy is always an exciting fighter. I mean, I worked a couple of his fights, man. I worked his fight with Robert Guerrero, I believe, for sure. He's coming off a win. I think he beat Soto Carras in his last American fight. He stopped him, I think, with a body shot or something. I didn't see the fight, but
I think he did. Yeah.
So, Kama guy's a tough guy. He's a tough nut to crack. Cotto is also tough, but he's a bit more skilled than Kama guy, I think. Funny thing about Kama guy, good dude, man. Good dude. I remember I was on a vacation in Japan a couple of years ago, and I took my equipment with me because I felt like I was going to get a call. I felt like I was going to get a call to who the fuck is interrupting our podcast? Who does that shit?
Hey, who does that shit? It's the cleaning lady. Oh, relax. All right. Take it easy.
All right.
It's Conor McGregor. He wants a piece of you.
So I was in I went to Japan, but I figured I was going to get called for a fight soon, which was where I fought Antonio Muscatello in London. But I had already booked this flight, this vacation in Japan for Halloween in 2015? So I took my equipment with me. I said, just in case they call me for a fight, I'm going to take my equipment with me, you know? And I got the call literally the next morning after I arrived. So I'm like, oh, shit. So I told one of my boys, we got to hit a gym at least once a day, man. I got to try to find a boxing gym. I got to start working out, you know? And we found the Tekken Boxing Gym, and I worked out there all week. Great guys. Awesome. What a great place. I mean, great bunch of people there. One of the most memorable trips I ever had because I had fun, but I also made sure I worked out one today. And anyway, why am I saying this? Because I sparred Kama guy one day, four rounds. You know, I wasn't in a lot of great shape, but I sparred Kama guy for four rounds. You know, it was a nice little workout we had, you know? So I started working out there. And
what kind of power did you feel for him? Because he got 24 knockouts and 27 wins.
Yeah, he's not a soft puncher. He's not a super hard puncher, but he's a pretty good body puncher. you know, your comic guy goes down to the body a lot, you know, and as a matter of fact, shows. He wound up stopping Soto Carras to the body, I believe. So, you know, it didn't surprise me. Comic guy is a good body puncher. He's a tough,
it's not
tough
easy
guy.
To stop Soto Carras.
Tough, tough guy, you know, tough, tough guy. So I think the Cotto and comic guy fight could actually be fun because Cotto is a guy who likes to be in the trenches and fight. Comic guy is the guy who likes to be in the trenches and fight. I think Cotto's a bit more skilled. And they both love going to the body. So I think it's a fun fight. It's probably going to get lost in the mix with the Mayweather-McGregor hype and stuff. But I think Cotto and Kama guy is a really fun fight.
Well, when is Cotto done, though?
Like, didn't he say this is his last fight or didn't say that?
I mean, I don't think he said
it. I think he's probably chasing one last chance at maybe a Canelo or something. He just signed with Golden Boy. So I think his if I'm trying to read him right, you sign with Golden Boy, you probably put yourself in the sweepstakes maybe for Canelo, right? Because if Canelo gets beat by...
Triple G.
You want to bring Canelo back in some kind of fight, right? I mean, I don't think people would complain about Canelo and Cotto. And I think Golden Boy wouldn't mind their chances against Cotto, who's a naturally smaller guy than Canelo. You know what I'm saying? So
especially that they fought already.
And they fought already. Canelo beat him, but Cotto did well. So it can easily get a rematch. But I don't think Golden Boy would feel like they're risking their cash cow as much with Cotto as they are with Golovkin, you know? So I think you can easily make a very big fight out of it. And I'm thinking as a businessman here and make the Canelo and Cotto rematch. If I'm reading Miguel right, he probably signed with Golden Boy specifically for this fight.
Oh, it makes sense, but he's been through wars.
Yeah, and that's why he's trying to just close it out right now. He closed it out with one last major payday. Everybody will watch Canelo and Cotto, I'm sorry. Even if Canelo gets knocked out in one round, you know, Cotto and Canelo, still the whole Mexico-Puerto Rico rivalry, it gets at least 800,000 to a million buys for me. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
You can hype it up. They've already fought one time, and it was a good fight. So I think that's more the angle that they're going with here. But we'll see. We'll see how that plays out.
Yeah, and September's looking really good too, man. Some big fights coming up in September. Chocolatito, the rematch.
Yeah. What is
this guy's name?
Rabungsai or whatever. Rabungsai, I don't even know his name.
September 9th.
Oh, nice.
HBO.
What card?
That's I think it's the main event. It's Quadras versus Estrada.
Oh, okay, nice. Little guys.
Versus
all little guys. Yeah, those are fun fights, man. I like those. Those are fun fights.
And then you got Canelo, Triple G the week later.
Nice.
And a few weeks after that, you have Linares fight Campbell fight too.
23rd,
Did we hear about
2-3 weeks in a row of boxing? Yeah.
Did we hear about GGG and Canelo's undercard at all?
I can take a look, see what we got. I think it's here. Let me see.
What do we got?
Callum Smith versus Eric Skolin. That's not right. That's Sky Sports.
That's the start of the World Boxing Super Series. Though it's probably the same day in Europe.
Billy Joe Saunders, versus William Monroe, the same day.
Right. That's not in the World Boxing Super Series. That's a different. Wow, there's three different cards. So Caleb's also fighting the 16th.
Yeah.
Holy fire stick, Batman.
Where is the Caleb Smith fight with Skoglund?
1 second.
In Denmark?
It's in Liverpool.
Liverpool. Oh, okay. Okay, that's where Smith is
from. In London,
it's
Billy Joe's in London.
Because it's different promoters. Eddie Hearn would have this Caleb Smith fight, and Frank Warren would have the Billy Joe Saunders fight. You know, that's interesting, bro. I think William Monroe could beat Billy Joe Saunders. The thing is he going to get a decision? You know, William Monroe is a slick player in there, bro.
Yeah,
that guy can fight. That kid can fight. You know what I mean? Like he's got some really. When he cost you the over, you had him over. What was your locksmith prediction here with this? What was it?
Over with the Triple G fight.
So over in the Triple G fight. So what happened? How much did you miss it by?
5 seconds.
No, sir.
Why was the only one?
No, I had him too. I don't even remember, bro. You remember everything? I don't remember this shit.
I see a couple fights here. They're saying Daniel Jacobs might fight on the undercard, but I guess it hasn't been announced.
Who?
Daniel Jacobs might fight.
I love how Seth doesn't even make like we talked about. We just talked about. He just looked at the schedule. And we just went over that Pete lost one of his lock bets.
What else is new? Tell me something I don't know.
By 5 seconds, he had the over under.
He's
the Golovkin
mush. He's a mush.
He had the over under in the Golovkin versus Monroe fight, and it ends 5 seconds before the over. He had
mush.
The over. He had the over. And
if he would have got up. I would have won.
Yeah, if you would have got up,
we would have won.
If your aunt had balls, she'd be your uncle. I know.
I'm not going to lie. I guess I did have that bet to it.
Yeah, he talked you into it.
But no. But
talked
no.
Me. I talked him into it. Yeah. He was asking me. What's the over-under? This kid's slick, bro.
I thought he was slick.
Yeah, he was.
He's slick right on the floor.
If Willie would have got up, and even if he would have got stopped like 10 seconds later, we would have hit the over.
It was about 5 or 10 seconds.
But he didn't. You lost because he's a mush.
Yeah, he stayed down. I guess if Pete, I bet you if Pete didn't put it in,
right,
Willie would have gets up.
No doubt.
He would have got up and stopped
Golovkin. Anybody who had the over in that bet, in that fight, just know that Pete cost you the fight.
Just like in Bronxville.
If Pete hadn't thrown in one of his locks that night, Willie Monroe gets up. You hit the over.
If Pete bet it, you rip up the tickets before it even starts.
Mush. A little mush from Bronxdale for anybody that doesn't know what we're talking about.
Oscar's cousin, Diego De La Hoya, is fighting on the undercard.
Okay.
Versus Randy Caballero.
That's a nice fight.
Yeah.
That's a nice fight.
Orozco versus
Ortiz. Is Diego the one that just beat Del Valle, the young kid from the Bronx, the kid from New York?
Yeah.
Yo, Diego's the one that beat him.
I think so, yeah.
Diego beat him. What was his name? Luis Del Valle.
Luis, yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I see is that one fight and one other fight here is Antonio Orozco versus Roberto Ortiz.
I don't know who Roberto Ortiz is. Do you ever know who Roberto Ortiz is? I know Antonio Orozco.
35-1-2.
All right. Orozco's the one that stopped Keandre Gibson. Orozco's
26-0.
Yeah. Orozco's not a bad fighter. Orozco's got a good little skill set. Okay. All right. Not bad. And where is the Saunders versus Monroe fight?
London.
It's a nice day, man. Nice day in boxing.
Who's the kid that beat Nonito?
The kid that beat Nonito? That's Magdaleno. Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't he fighting soon?
I'll take a look. I'll look up.
I saw
that. He signed the top rank. That kid's good. They're brothers. Good,
yeah. There's two of them. Yeah. But that one
Diego
is
and the little one is. I forget the little one's name. What's the little one's name? God. What's his name?
Jesse
Magdaleno. Yes. Diego's Magdaleno. The old one. Yeah. Yeah. Diego fought for a world title, but he lost.
Which one beat Nonito?
Jesse did. Yeah. Jesse beat him.
Yeah, let's see if he's got a fight coming up.
That kid can fight. I mean, Nonito can fight too, bro.
Nonito's a beast. I mean, he's not in his prime, but he still did.
Fighting Halloween against Cesar Juarez.
Oh, that's okay. I just saw something on Instagram.
WBO World Super Bantamweight title.
Well, he won the world title against Nonito, so he's defending it. All right, cool. Yeah. Very nice. All right, so that's our show for the week.
So when are you leaving to Vegas?
I'm leaving Sunday to Vegas.
And I'm going to Disney. Oh, happy birthday, my nephew Mikey. Today's Mikey's birthday.
Hey, Mikey.
Love you, buddy.
Can you call us in next week? Give us a little from Vegas.
We'll see.
Squeezing 20 minutes for us.
We'll see what I'm working with. Yeah,
come on, you can do it.
Vegas is going to be a very busy week.
Just remember, this is your show, man.
I know.
These are your people.
I got to make time.
These are your people.
I got to make time for my people.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
In Vegas too, though.
All right, just squeeze in 20 minutes, bro.
Sure, of course.
Sure.
All right,
squeeze it in.
All right, we'll get it done. All right, we'll see you guys next week then. If I get it in, otherwise we'll see you the week after. We'll figure it out. All right, that's it for this week's Brooklyn to the World.